Will the House please come to order? Will the members please show their attendance by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll?
Do we need to take another roll call?
We'll take another roll call for attendance. Will the members show their attendance by voting? Is there any member who's failed to vote? Will the clerk please take the roll?
Thirty-seven present, three absent.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Meekins is excused from the call of the House today, and Representative Munson is excused until plain time.
The prayer today is by Pastor George McNevin of the Assembly of God. Will the members please rise for today's prayer?
Unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
There's no objection. The prayer will be spread on the journal. Will the Chief Clerk please certify as to the correctness of the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journals for the 55th and 56th days in House Supplement Number 24.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent of the journal for the 55th and 56th days in the House Journal Supplement Number 24 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
There's no objection. The journals for the 55th and 56th days stand approved. Are there any guests to introduce before the House today? Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a friend of mine and a neighbor from Eagle River and Gallery A, Rosemary Johnson.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Representative O'Connell and myself are fortunate in having some constituents from the Kenai Peninsula in Juneau today and hopefully for a few days longer in both galleries today. In Gallery A, we have Mr. Warren Plumbo from Homer, and in Gallery B, Ruth Johnson from Kenai area and Carolyn Phelps Munson.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, a good friend of many of ours and a very prominent lady in Anchorage, just happens to be the mother of our page, Mary, Nancy Gross.
Representative Bettisworth.
Mr. Speaker, from Fairbanks, we have a constituent, Blanche Wilson.
Representative Parker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to have you meet some people from Anchorage who are down here for the CPC conference sponsored by the Coalition for Economic Justice. In Gallery B, Marge Boyles, Edna Adrian, Peggy Williams, and Robert Williams. And in Gallery A, Marty Ressler, Darlene Belts, and Sarah Tift.
Representative Duncan.
Representative Miller and I also have two constituents in the gallery, also at the CPC, from Juneau, Helen Stringer and Margaret Cavanaugh.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a visitor from the beautiful Matanuska Valley, Elsie O'Brien.
Representative Freeman and I have a guest here today, and she runs the revenue office and takes care of a lot of complaints for us in Ketchikan, and also has been very active in politics all her life. Mrs. Jeanette Edwards in Gallery B. Are there any other guests for introduction? Messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees?
The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 20 relating to commercial fishing loans under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 20 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, co-chairman, concurred in by Chatterton, Eliason, Carney, Cotton, Fuller, Jaroff, Osterbach, and Miles, co-chairman, signing do pass if amended, Halford. House Bill 20 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 65, a special appropriation to the Department of Law, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 65, Finance, and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Haugen, Guy, Moss, Smith, and Rogers, signing do not pass, Meekins, Montgomery, and Schaefer. House Bill 65 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 105, authorizing recovery of expenses from the state on hearing or appeal of disputed tax payments and changing Rules 79 and 82 of the Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 105 and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Buchholz, Anderson, Parr, Brown, and Martin. Signing no recommendation, O'Connell and Malone. House Bill 105 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 163, Beverage Dispensary and Retail Liquor Licenses, under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back without recommendation. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Barnes, Buchholz, Brown, Malone, and Martin. Signing do pass, O'Connell, Anderson, and Parr. House Bill 163 has no further referral. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had House Bill 192, providing for equalization of the tax resources of municipalities, continuing a portion of the program of state aid for municipal purposes, and providing for minimum entitlements, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 192 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, chairman, signing do pass unless amended, Parker. Signing do pass as amended, Parr. O'Connell signed do pass if amended. Metcalf signed do pass as amended. Signing no recommendation, Carney. Signing do not pass as amended, Jaroff. Signing do not pass as amended, Branson. House Bill 192 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 238. Making special appropriations to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for the construction of plane ramps at Occioc and Larson Bay, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 238 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, chairman, concurred in by Miller, Gardner, Parker, and Fuller. Signing no recommendation, Martin and Metcalf. House Bill 238 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 254 relating to Alaska National Guard retirement, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, chairman, concurred in by Miller, Fuller, Parker, and Gardner. Signing no recommendation, Eliason and Metcalf. Signing do not pass, Martin. House Bill 254 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on State Affairs has had House Bill 276. A special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for facilities and communities of the Alaska Peninsula and the Aleutians, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 276 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, chairman, concurred in by Miller, Fuller, Parker, and Gardner. Signing no recommendation, Eliason, Metcalf, and Martin. House Bill 276 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Bill 294 relating to mobile homes, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 294 and attaches two fiscal notes and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, chairman, concurred in by Parr, Phillips, Barnes, O'Connell, Buchholz, Anderson, Brown, Malone, and Martin. House Bill 294 has no further referral.
Because of the fiscal notes, at this time a finance referral will be added to House Bill 294.
The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 299, making a special appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs for a study of the effects of landslides and tsunamis on Kodiak Island under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 299 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Gardner, Fuller, and Parker. Signing do not pass, Martin. Signing no recommendation, Metcalf and Eliason. House Bill 299 has a further referral to finance. The Committee on State Affairs is at House Bill 373, relating to withdrawal from the federal social security system under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 373 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Miller, Metcalf, Eliason, Fuller, Parker, Martin, and Gardner. House Bill 373 has no further referral. Mr. Speaker, the members of the State Affairs Committee have had the opportunity to meet with Commissioner Bob Ward and to hear his views on the administration of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. The undersigned members of the committee find Mr. Ward to be well qualified for the post of commissioner and recommend to the joint session that members of the legislature vote in favor of his confirmation. The report was signed by Miller, Chairman, Fuller, Gardner, Eliason, Martin, Parker, and Metcalf. Mr. Speaker, House Resources Committee unanimously recommends the confirmation of H. Philip Hubbard, Juno, and William Spear, Juno, to the Alaska Renewable Resources Board of Trustees. The House Resources Committee unanimously recommends the confirmation of Harry W. Kugler, Anchorage, Hoyle Hamilton, Anchorage, and Lonnie C. Smith, Anchorage, to the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports to special committees.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
I have a citation congratulating the Monroe Catholic Rams by Representatives Bettisworth, Brown, Moss, Parr, Randolph, Rogers, Smith, and Senators Bennett, Fahrenkamp, and Hackney. I have no resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
House Bill 374 by Duncan and Miller, an act relating to equalizing the costs of full-time residential or nursing care.
Hess and Finance.
House Bill 375 with a letter and fiscal note by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to costs of attorney services provided to indigents charged with violations of municipal ordinances.
Community and Regional Affairs and Judiciary.
House Bill 376 by Brown, an act providing an exemption from state individual income taxes of certain unemployment benefits subject to federal taxation and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
House Bill 377 with a transmittal letter by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act making fiscal year 79 transfers of appropriation items for Department of Labor and providing for an effective date.
Labor and Management and Finance.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the Chief Clerk please read the first item on the calendar?
House Bill Number 32 by Gardner and Freeman, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development Power Project Revolving Fund of the Alaska Power Authority and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 32 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Malone, Osterbach, Munson, Brown, Bettisworth, and Halford. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 32 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 32 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Montgomery, Haugen, Guy, Rogers, and Duncan. Signing no recommendation, McKinnon. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill Number 32 be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
If there's no objection, the Finance Committee substitute will be substituted in lieu of the original bill for House Bill 32. Are there any amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill Number 32 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 32 is engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed in final passage. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading and final passage?
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 32 by the Finance Committee. An act making special appropriations to the Power Project Revolving Fund of the Alaska Power Authority and providing for an effective date.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, maybe an explanation to the members would be in order to the difference between the original bill and the committee substitute. The original bill appropriated $3,115,000 to the Department of Economic Commerce, Commerce and Economic Development Power Project Revolving Fund, and the that was for one project only. The committee substitute increases that to include two other projects, namely Tai Lake in the Petersburg Wrangell area and Terror Lake in the Kodiak area. This came about because the subcommittee and the Finance Committee had considerable conversation and discussion with Mr. Yule of the Power Authority, and to find out what other projects in the state, hydroelectric projects, especially in the state, were in the time frame, the progress as the same as Swan Lake. We found that although there are numerous hydroelectric projects under consideration, that three of them were at a particular point in time where they had to have some assistance from the be able to borrow money from the Power Authority to continue to keep on schedule. And the process, of course, of developing a hydroelectric project is a lengthy one. There's any number of steps that had to be taken, and failure to take the proper step at the proper time means that you've lost a year on the project. I have here a list of the three projects of the what the monies would be spent for. If the members would care to hear them, I'm willing to do it. It's quite lengthy, each one of them, but just as an example, for instance, in the Swan Lake, it's $750,000 to complete all permitting, licensing, surveying, field investigations for the project. $1,450,000 to initiate final design of the project facilities and prepare contract bids and so forth. The same procedure and reasoning and applies to all of the projects. And as I say, they amount up between the three of them. They're quite lengthy. I'd be only too happy to go through those if the members desire. I would suggest and request that you vote for the bill.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think these are good projects. One thing that Alaska does not have enough of is low-priced electrical power, and we all know that hydroelectric is the cheapest that there is. In fact, the cost of it is usually only the cost of retiring the bonds once you have the facilities in place. It's unfortunate that this bill can't contain on it just a certain project at the same time. I understand why that the IRS has thrown a monkey wrench in the machinery, but I think eventually the body may be asked to do something toward the Susitna project, and I hope that those of us from the Rail Belt area who are supporting this so strongly will be able to count on the support from those in these other areas who are who will be profiting by this bill.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I noticed that Section 2 of the bill, which would have, in the original bill, as it appeared in the Commerce Committee, which would have lapsed the portion unobligated, unexpended as of June 30th next year, is no longer in the Finance Committee substitute, and I wondered what the reason for that was.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, there's nothing sinister about that. There's a possibility that
Some of these, because of the, again, the timetable, that there's a possibility that some of this money may not be need to be spent this fiscal year, but the next one and so forth. And for that reason, we thought that it was best that we didn't force them to do something, spend money before they needed to.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The lapsing section, however, did apply to the $3,115,000 in the original bill. It didn't come up in the Commerce Committee that that section of the bill was should not apply to at least Section 1. I gather from Mr. Freeman's remarks, however, that the Finance Committee determined otherwise. Mr. Speaker, though, the I'm familiar with the $3,115,000 that represents the cost for the Swan Lake project in Ketchikan. And we reviewed that in the Commerce Committee. But the major portion of the bill is no longer concerned with that project out of $7 million appropriation. Now we have $4 million for two other projects, neither of which we heard about in the Commerce Committee. And what I would like to ask is the breakdown of project costs, at least in terms of the general costs that have been developed for the other two projects that are now in the bill.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, one of the explanations here, of course, that Mr. Gardner and I, knowing the because of the pressure and the need at home, were early to get a bill introduced, and it was the plan of both the representatives in the other two areas to do likewise. And it was considered, again, after talking to the Power Authority and the plain politics of it, it was that it would be better to combine all of these bills, in all of these requests into one. And I will, the material is similar, the reasons are the same, and I have no objection to going over it. For instance, in the Tyee, in the Petersburg-Wrangell, in that particular area, the breakdown amounts to this: obtaining rights of way, $40,000, production and plant field work, additional core drilling, $150,000, additional seismic surveys, $30,000, surveys for structure, $60,000, transportation, $100,000, camp, $80,000, special studies, fish, wildlife, archaeological, and so forth, $100,000, a subtotal of $520,000, production plant design, electrical, $60,000, mechanical, $50,000, subtotal, $110,000, transmission line, Petersburg-Wrangell, engineering, $220,000, right-of-way clearing, $140,000, owner-furnished line materials, $800,000, subtotal, $1,160,000, indirect cost, TBPC, and I'm going to blow it on that one, $100,000, contingency, $70,000, for a total of $2 million. For Terror Lake, again, and final design work, civil, hydrology, $20,000, tunnels and shafts, $30,000, penstock, $30,000, powerhouse, $120,000, hydraulic structures, $130,000, design work for $79,000, subtotal, $160,000, one subtotal, $330,000, geotechnical, geology, $60,000, soils, $140,000, electrical, $130,000, mechanical, $100,000, transmission line, $200,000, cost engineering, $50,000, preparation of specifications, $50,000, total, subtotal, $1,060,000, field work, drilling, $250,000, topographical, seismic surveying, $25,000, topographical, $80,000, air support, $200,000, CAP facilities, $125,000, special studies, $127,800, and the total of that, $2 million.
Representative Malone.
House, please stand at ease.
The House, please. We're under third reading on House Bill 32. Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, there's two things that called to my attention maybe I didn't make clear, and one of them was in the original bill, The appropriation was made to the Department of Commerce and Economic Development Power Project Revolving Fund for, of the Alaska Power Authority. The bill that's before us now appropriates this directly to the revolving fund of the Power Authority. And the reason for that is that there's a bill introduced, which I don't know whether it will live or die, that would make it mandatory for an increase in the interest rates in the Department of Economic Development and Commerce. And that rate could end up as high as 11%. The Power Authority's interest rate is about 5.5%. Therefore, we felt it was better to use the lower interest rates as far as the project was concerned. The next one is that I should point out and make sure that everybody understands that these are loans. They go to the revolving loan fund of the Power Authority, and when the project is final financing of the project is underway, that money will be repaid to the revolving loan fund and will be available for use in other projects as they come online.
Is there further debate? The question before the House is final passage of Finance Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 32. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Yeas, no nays, 2 excused.
Finance Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 32 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on Finance Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 32 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
If there's no objection, the roll call on final passage will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause for Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 32. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Bill Number 90 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, Division of Local Government Assistance, and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 90 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Freeman, Montgomery, Haugen, Rogers, Smith, and McKinnon. Signing no recommendation, Guy and Moss. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill Number 90 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, House Bill 90 will be engrossed, advanced third reading, placed on final passage. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
House Bill Number 90 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Community and Regional Affairs, Division of Local Government Assistance, and providing for an effective date.
Is there any debate? Representative Miles.
Can we have an explanation of the bill, please, Mr. Speaker?
Representative Duncan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just very briefly, in the budget document that we receive each year, in fact, in the fiscal year 80 budget document, if you've had a chance to review that, there is an appropriation of national forest receipts. That's only an estimate. The receipts received are 25% of the total annual collections received by U.S. Forest Service. 25% comes back to the state for distribution to the various communities who have national forests within their boundaries, and that's done on a proportional basis. The estimate in the fiscal year 79 budget was $900,000. The actual receipts from the Forest Service for National Forest Receipts, $929,700. So this is just receiving those additional $29,700, giving it to Community Regional Affairs, which will then be shared back to the communities.
Is there any further debate on the bill? Question before the House is final passage of House Bill 90. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Will the clerk please lock the roll?
Carney.
Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk, please take the final roll.
Yeas, no nays, 2 excused.
House Bill 90 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill number 90, excuse me, that the roll call on House Bill number 90 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call on House Bill 90 will be shown as the roll call on the effective date clause. Will the Chief Clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
House Concurrent Resolution Number 9 by Osterbach, requesting the Department of Commerce and Economic Development to enforce the law regarding corporate foreign affiliation. The Committee on Resources has had House Concurrent Resolution Number 9 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, co-chairman, concurred in by Miles, co-chairman, Cotton, Carney, Fuller, Jaroff, and Osterbach. Signing no recommendation, Chatterton, Eliason, and Halford. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
We're in second reading, and this is final passage for House Concurrent Resolution Number 9. Is there any debate? Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like an explanation of the bill, particularly in view of the fact that there were three no recs. I'd appreciate an explanation. I think I understand it, but I'd just like to hear something on it.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just very briefly, this is a copy of the Corporation Annual Report from the Department of Commerce. On the last page of the report, there are a number of things that must be filled out, and they spell it out. And simply in item 10 on this, they have a definition of affiliate, which is different from the definition in the statute, and this merely calls attention to it. Says, let's use the definition that's in the statute.
Is there any further debate? The question before the House is final passage of House Concurrent Resolution Number 9. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
Yeas, no nays, 2 excused.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 9 has passed the House. Brings us to the citations and calendar. We'd like to try a little bit different procedure than we use, since we have about a dozen citations. What I'd like to do is, if there are members who wish to speak on the resolutions, we will take those citations first, and then there will be a motion after that to adopt the rest of the citations in one motion. So at this time, are there any members who wish to speak on a citation? You could rise and move that citation. Not Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move approval of the citations that appear on today's calendar.
If there's no objection, the motion to adopt the citations listed on today's calendar will be adopted unanimously by the House. That will be reflected on the journal on each citation. That completes the calendar for today. And we're under unfinished business. Are there any items of unfinished business to come before the House? One item, House Bill 297, with the concurrence of the Commerce Committee Chairman, the referral to the Commerce Committee of House Bill 297 will be waived. The bill has an additional referral to the Finance Committee. Representative Cotton. House, please stand it. Are there any other items of unfinished business to come before the House? Special orders. Announcements of committee meetings. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, not quite contrary to the committee schedule, there will not be a meeting of the committee tonight, the House Commerce Committee. The schedule says if needed, and some of the other if needed meetings may be used, but not that one. So we'll meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we will be considering for at least final action before the Ides of March, if we're going to do it, the bills that were set on our schedule for Saturday afternoon. Now, as a couple of subcommittees will be reporting back, and some people with amendments, and also the matter that is indicated on the calendar, that is some discussion of our sunset review reports, if there's time.
Representative Freeman.
Point of information, Mr. Speaker, are we going to have a joint session or something this afternoon?
Yes, there will be a joint session at 2 p.m. with Senator Gravel. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, because of that joint session, we're going to meet, the State Affairs Committee is going to meet early at 1 o'clock as opposed to our usual 1:15 and 1:30. It will be a 1 o'clock meeting. It will be a confirmation hearing on the Department of Administration Commissioner William Hudson. Mr. Speaker, there's at 7:30 tonight a very important meeting of the State Affairs Committee that I think quite a number of members of the House will want to attend. That will be taking up, and I'm sorry I don't have the number of the bill. Perhaps it is here. But in any case, it's the AGSOP, Alaska General Stock Ownership Plan. This will be a teleconferenced hearing so that people in the other teleconference centers as well as the community here will be able to listen in and pick up information and ask questions for that matter or offer comments. But Senator Gravel will be here, and I understand a number of other people with considerable knowledge on the AGSOP plan will be in attendance, and this will be an excellent opportunity for anybody to really pick up some smarts on what could be one of the more important bills and concepts that this legislature will be dealing with. So I emphasize the importance of this hearing tonight at 7:30. It'll be in Courtroom A, not in the State Affairs usual meeting place, but in Courtroom A, so that if a number of people show up, we can accommodate them comfortably.
The number of the bill is House Bill 240, and Mr. Louis Kelso and his staff, the consultants that work for the legislature, will be present also. Representative Miller?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I'm sorry, I meant to point out, too, the printed schedule says 7 o'clock tonight, but that's in error. It is 7:30.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 this afternoon or upon adjournment of the joint session, whichever comes earlier. And we have House Bill 117, Use of Social Security Numbers by State Agencies, House Bill 20, Commercial Fishing Loans, and sponsor substitute for House Bill 30, Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank. Mr. Speaker, the schedule shows a night meeting at 7 o'clock. But there's a conflict which wasn't realized at the time, and that meeting will not take place.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Health Committee will meet this evening at 7:30 p.m., and we will be addressing House Bill 260, Participation of Legislators in the State Retirement System, House Bill 211, Public and Elementary School Education, and House Bill 79, Practice of Optometry. I hope the members will come in spite of the teleconferencing, which Representative Miller so enticed us to attend.
Representative Miles.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House resources will meet today at 3 o'clock or immediately after Senator Gravel's speech to the joint session on House Bill 120, Appropriation to Community and Regional Affairs for Purchase of Agriculture Equipment, House Bill 187, Technical Amendments to the Oil and Gas Tax Program, Sponsor Substitute for House Bill 33, Disposal of State Land, and Time Permitting House Bill 338 regarding Bowhead Whale Study.
Representative Parker.
Mr. Speaker, CRA will continue our meeting after the session, let's say at 11,
in the Bradley room to take up the rest of the bills from the calendar this morning.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, Finance Committee will meet after the joint session to continue consideration of the general government category of the budget.
Representative Hurlburt.
Mr. Speaker, the Labor Management will meet in the Bradley Room tomorrow at 8:30. Be taking up House Bill 246, an act relating to workers' compensation.
Are there any other committee announcements? We'll announce at this time that there is a joint session at 2 o'clock, so members should be here about 5 minutes before 2 with Senator Gravel, and the purpose of his address is to discuss with us the D2 issue and what's going on in Congress. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move that the House stand in recess until 1:55 p.m. this afternoon.
There's no objection. The House will stand in recess till 1:55 p.m. under the uniform rules of the Alaska State Legislature, the President of the Senate presides over joint sessions. At this time, I would turn over the gavel to President Tillian.
Thank you, Representative Gardner. The joint session will please come to order. Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, I move and ask you to accept the roll call for the Senate to waive from all senators who show
this question. As soon as Senator Sturgiolowski gets here, I'm sure we will be. Representative Anderson.
Mr. President, I move that the House roll call be waived and that all House members be shown as present.
Without objection, so ordered. At this time, I'd like to appoint a committee to escort the senator to the podium, Representative Smith and Senator Kelly. What happened to Senator Kelly? I'd like to welcome Senator Mike Gravel to these chambers once again. You're going to really edify us this time, right, Mike?
Thank you very much, Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, fellow legislators. This is the first time in my career that in the same year I've addressed the legislature twice. Obviously, this was at my request, and I felt that the matter was of sufficient import to bother to take up your time, and so I appreciate the courtesies of letting me come to talk to you twice. On the last occasion, it was nothing new that I felt deserved a great deal of time, and so concentrated all of the time that you had allotted to me on the Ag Soc legislation. Now the situation is drastically altered, and I felt it was important to come back to you with some new concepts and to lay it before you, more as an informational process, because what I have to say here today is not definitive, it's more of a developmental nature. Let me go back to a very fundamental which I always ask myself, and I think acts as a discipline on me. And that is, who wants legislation with respect to Alaska lands or with respect to D2? The obvious is that the environmentalists want legislation. And I think in my own conclusion, and I think in the conclusion of many, that the reason why they want legislation is as a device to lock up Alaska to preclude economic activity taking place in Alaska. I don't say this very flippantly, because you need but look at the fact that today we have clean air, clean water, coastal zone management, solid waste, a whole bevy of legislation that covers the environment. And so there's no place in these United States that can be despoiled with the economic processes going forward. It just can't happen like it used to. And so the need for additional legislation has to be motivated by other than a desire to permit the proper interworkings of our economic and ecological society. With respect to Alaskans, we can ask the question, do Alaskans want legislation? I think it's a clear and resounding no, but that no has a very large but with it. And the but, of course, is that if legislation is inevitable, and it appeared that way, that it would be, then we should obviously gear ourselves to that inevitability and work constructively in some regard. You as a body have addressed yourself to that in the 7 points. And as I interpret that, it's 7 points which I've coined a phrase calling it our bottom line. Well, what a bottom line means is that somebody's going to do something and that you're going to try and make sure that at least what they do to you isn't below your threshold or your bottom line. And so that's the situation that we're in up to this point in time. In addition to the 7-point program that we've all agreed on, we have the effort made by the state and by CMAL to litigate. Now, a litigatory course is not a defensive course. That's an offensive course of action. The working towards a bottom line or towards legislation, which is as least painful to you, is a defensive course of action. Now, if we litigate, we then can, and if we win, we then can look at the situation and say, well, now do we want to pursue this further, the securing of these 7 points? Some would obviously be moot with the litigation winning. And would we want to pursue this in a legislative context now or in the future? That is a judgment I think we would all would make at that given point of time if we're successful in our litigation. However, even if we were successful in our litigation, we still have a spectrum before us that can be very injurious. And that is, under 204E of the BLM Organic Act, the Secretary can reserve, and the figures that they're tossing about are 40 million acres, that they can reserve 40 million acres into a non-use pattern for about 20 years. When the Secretary chooses to do that, he must provide environmental statements. In addition, he must come back to the Congress, but the Congress only has a veto power. And so we need not do anything in the affirmative, and so therefore, if somebody tried to do something in the affirmative to deny the use of 204C, then one or two senators could thwart that affirmative action. The events in the House that occurred in the last 2 weeks have probably given Alaskans a great heart. I know they have in my case. The first event that got some degree of notice and we had the good fortune to have Pat Caddell. Essentially, he's the pollster for Jimmy Carter, did all the polling during the campaign. His company is called Cambridge Reports, and Cambridge Reports is a company that does a periodic national poll, and corporations subscribe to that poll. The Democratic National Committee pays for that poll just like a corporation, and that poll is then given to the president, and so that's the private polling information that the president gets. In the poll that will be submitted to the president, it already has, it was done last week, there are about 18 questions that deal with the Alaska lands issue. The 18 questions are just ways of attacking the main question from several different angles to ascertain that these are the views of the American people. Well, by and large, to our great surprise and to our great joy, that consistently for the last two quarters, and this poll is reflective of data collected in November, December of last year, that and in the quarter before that, that the American people, by a substantial margin, and when I mean substantial, I'm talking from 65% to 75%, repeatedly reaffirm that they do not want to see land, federal land, locked up before it's been inventoried for oil and gas purposes. Now, I think you saw the brouhaha that we had last year with another poll that was taken. If the question is asked, do you want to save Alaska? Obviously, most citizens will say, of course they want to save Alaska. We all want to save everything if we can. But now, if you place it in the context, do you want to explore for oil or gas in Alaska prior to locking up Alaska, and then by a factor of 70 to 75% of the American people resoundingly come down on that side? Now, that gave us great heart. The second very important, beautiful thing that happened was the passage out of the Interior Committee in the House of the Huckabee substitute. There was a great deal of statements right at the time that the Huckabee substitute was the greatest thing since sliced bread. Well, quite the contrary. Literally, the Huckabee bill is essentially the bill that I killed last year. What was significant about Mr. Huckabee's efforts, and he himself would much prefer to see a different bill, but this was the only thing that they had at hand to sort of have a shootout with Mo Udall over his legislation. And so if he had had more time, he would have probably fashioned a bill that would have been much, much to our liking, because Jerry Huckabee's attitudes are very much similar to ours. But in the haste of the moment, that's what he had, that's what he put down, and that was sufficient to go out and beat Mo Udall, the chairman, in his own committee. That's the significance of what happened, not the technical details of what's in the Huckabee legislation. What's significant is that Mo Udall take an extreme position and Mr. Huckabee taking a moderate position, that the moderate position prevailed, and that's after two nights where the President of the United States himself got on the phone to subcommittee members, and to no avail. They could not budge any of the votes. And so that victory is significant. Now we have the bill and into the committee under Mr. John Brough from Louisiana, who is equally predisposed to our side, as is Mr. Huckabee. And I testified along with the governor in Fairbanks before the committee. They had 10 congressmen there, and essentially all of them on our side. And so the bill that will come out of that committee will be substantially improved over the Huckabee substitute. And it would not surprise me to see Jerry Huckabee at some point in time chuck his bill and go with that committee's bill, because that's where his head would be, and rather than go through an amending process with his. Now, Mo Udall threatens that he will come to the floor and will beat us there. He may well, we don't know. But I do know that it'll be most unusual that two committees having gone on record for a position, that somebody could come to the floor and overturn the work of two committees. I think that would be most unusual. And so I am very optimistic and very upbeat that that would happen. The next element we hear is that if the Huckabee or anything like it passes, that the president will be recommended to veto it by the Secretary of Interior. So be it. If we have no control over that, if he wants to veto it, I think it would probably be somewhat difficult to try and override that veto. And if that's the case, that if they do veto anything that's an improvement from our point of view, then we have to sort of look at our whole card. And that brings me to the next tactic in question, and that is that since we've had these improvements in our position, we should begin to develop a mindset away from a defensive position, which is to try and improve and get the best thing out of bad legislation, and move to an offensive position. And if perchance they do veto it, then obviously that offensive position is mandated, because we have no other course of action. Now, I would define what an offense is. It's essentially doing the same thing of what we're doing in litigation, only refining it so that there's no loopholes left in the law for the executive to oppress us or do bad things to us in the future. I have drafted legislation, and I would like to, at this point in time, give a copy of it to the Speaker and a copy of it to the President of the Senate, along with a copy of the poll from Cambridge Reports, along with it a summary of the legislation, and two or three fact sheets that back up the rationale, along with a Dear Colleague letter that I'll be sending out with other members of the Senate. Essentially what the legislation does, and here we've taken legislation that Mo Udall has already introduced, and DeConcini and Domenici have introduced. They've introduced legislation to clean up the Antiquities Act. Apparently, it's not a very good piece of legislation. The penalties are not sufficient to really dissuade people from violating a lot of these artifacts and historic sites. And so what they've done, they've beefed it up. We've taken that piece of legislation and added one paragraph, that's about all it is, one paragraph that says that the President of the United States cannot appropriate more than 5,000 acres of land, and if he does go more than 5,000 acres of land, he must seek the approval of the Congress. That, incidentally, is no different than what is existing law in the BLM Organic Act. And so the precedent is very clear. The most recent undertaking by the Congress involving land deals with that subject very clearly, and that is that under the Constitution, the appropriation of land is the prerogative of the Congress. And that prerogative has been reaffirmed repeatedly by the Supreme Court of the United States. And so all this does is now take that and limits the Antiquities Act to 5,000 acres. In addition to that, it has another short paragraph. And what that paragraph says, that rather than having a veto power in the Congress under 204C, the Congress has an affirmative power under 204C. So that if the Secretary chooses to select lands for refuges for 20 years, then the Congress must assent in that. And if the Congress does not, then those refuges are not created. With the accomplishment of both of those items, we then have essentially removed from the executive the power to put a gun at our heads. Now, that legislation is national legislation and not Alaska legislation. And this is very important because, as you know, last year we had a great deal of difficulty in bringing forward support from industry and other states on our problem, because it was just our problem. And if they had the time and convenience, they helped us. If they did not have the time and convenience, we got no help. And we felt that when we wound up with a vote of 277-31. But now when we deal with the Antiquities Act, it's a different matter altogether. Similarly, if we pass a D2 piece of legislation, similar to Huckabee or anything like it in the Congress today, without passing an Antiquities Act as I've defined it, then the problem becomes very serious for other states and for ourselves. Because what we do in that Alaska lands legislation is we superimpose above the monuments, on top of the monuments, a selection on land. We do not go to the fundamentals of the power that was exercised by the president in the appropriation of land. That's vital and that's national, because that's an issue that exists between the executive and the Congress. That's essentially the issue that was involved with the Panama Canal, that the president does not have the constitutional right to give back land to the Panamanian government. And so now it's a contest not over Alaska lands between environmentalists or non-environmentalists or growthers. The issue is the prerogatives of the Congress in juxtaposition the prerogatives of the executive. And were it not for the Alaska lands issue, this bill that we hope to introduce would be introduced by Mo Udall and Scoop Jackson. They would be jumping up and down, pressing for the passage of this legislation because it impinges upon their prerogatives in their committee system as part of the leadership of the Congress on the problems of lands. But because of the Alaska lands issue, they want to sort of not face that problem until the Alaska problem is out of the way. But in our argumentation and in our efforts of persuasion to other members of the Congress, we go to them and say, look it, you've got to get this matter cleared up. And it's not going to be cleared up in Alaska lands legislation. Because if you don't get it cleared up, and this year we pass a rare two legislation that doesn't have what the president wants, maybe 10 or 15 million acres, but only has what the Congress wants, 5 million acres, then the president can go out and create monuments for the other 5 million acres without the Congress. This year, we're going to be taking up the water issue. This is something that's very volatile and very vital in the West, and it's something that's very controversial. Now, the administration has a very strong position, and the Western Delegation Coalition has also an equally strong position. Now, if the Congress legislates a policy that is disagreed with by the executive, then the executive can turn around and superimpose on the various sites that the Congress would want to affect its water policy, the executive can now turn around and create monuments and thwart the Congress in the water policy it chose to set up. If the executive were bent on establishing some form of de facto gun legislation and could not do it in the Congress, all it need do is begin to superimpose monuments onto areas
where there is a high intensity of gun use, and you then deny, through a de facto regulatory process, the use of guns through individuals. Similar with grazing, similar with oil or gas, similar with hard rock minerals, the executive has the power, if it goes unchallenged, to do anything it wants if the Congress is foolish enough to let them do it. When the NRA decides to support our Alaska lands legislation, it does it with a degree of enthusiasm. When it decides to endorse and support this Antiquities Act reformation legislation, it does it with a considerably higher degree of enthusiasm, because it not only affects Alaska, it affects the entire United States. And so this is what I mean when I say that we have to take the offense, because what would be the finest, what would be our preference in Alaska were we able to succeed in a solution, not just legislation, what would be the ideal solution? I would interpret it as this. That ideal would be that there would be no Antiquities Act present or monuments present in Alaska, one. Two, that there would be no D2, and there is no D2, that's expired. Three, that there would be no lands legislation, and could be a possibility. And four, that we would acquire our state lands and our native lands, and that we would have a clear shot at normal housekeeping activities in other areas that we find vital in the land question. That, in my mind, would be the best we could get. We, up till shortly, we never felt that that was possible. And it may not be possible. But it strikes me that in seeking the ideal or the best, you do not impair what is second best. And the charge is made that just maybe by going after what's best for ourselves will impair what is second best for ourselves. I do not comprehend that logic, because one can always fall back to what is second best if you don't secure what is preferable. And so what's preferable is, as I've defined it, and I think no one would quarrel with that, and what is second best then, of course, is to adhere to a policy where we have a bottom line that's been literally codified in general terms by yourselves, and I agree with that, and I want to assure you that I would work in that direction. And so my efforts in the House have been to get a favorable vote on the Huckabee substitute. I did not view the Huckabee substitute as a detailed piece of legislation. What I was working for was the defeat of Mo Udall. And now that we have a piece of legislation in another committee, let's work to get the best piece of legislation we can get, and then let's work to get the best piece of legislation we can get out of the House. But at the same time, I feel it's entirely reasonable and helps us in our efforts at getting good legislation to also push for the ideal, and that would be to repeal the Antiquities, correct 204C into the BLM Organic Act, and to reverse. Now, comment is made that in this legislation I have a retroactive feature to last October. Well, that's no big deal. We do that all the time in taxes. We either make legislation effective at some forward date, or we make it retroactive. And so there's no one that I know in the Congress that would be upset over anything retroactive, because it's a very common occurrence. So anybody who's knowledgeable about the Congress who would criticize the proposal from that point of view certainly does it a disservice. But I think in speaking to legislators that you yourselves know that you can make anything retroactive or futuristic. It's just whatever you decide you want to vote. And so I think that would wash very well. I would only add this, that if efforts are made, and I would define these efforts now at this point, that I will go back to Washington and will make every effort to try and secure co-sponsors. I hope that in your deliberations with the governor and the council that you will give him, that you would ask him to ask the lobbyists that work for the state of Alaska back in Washington to similarly give me a hand in getting co-sponsors. Now, that is all done privately. No great fanfare with that. It's a one-on-one. You go to Senator Laxalt or you go to Senator Johnson and you say, Bennett, you know, this is something I think affects Louisiana. I hope you'll be able to co-sponsor with me. He'll say yes or he'll say no. If he says yes, you tick him off and you go to the next person.
And before this legislation is introduced, I will counsel with the governor, I'll counsel with Senator Stevens and Don Young, and I'll counsel with you, and to give you a report as to where we stand as a number of co-sponsors, and so that we can see if progress is made. Quite obviously, the test of success of this approach will be if we can get co-sponsors. If we can't get co-sponsors, then quite obviously, it's not flying. And if it doesn't fly, then it might be injurious to a compromise effort. And if that's the case, I'll be the first to bag it. But if the effort is successful at building a bevy of signatures towards co-sponsorship and melding together a phalanx of support in the Senate and in the House, then I hope that you would join me with intensified effort to pursue what is the most favorable course of action, and that would be determined by performance. And so I'm prepared to let it rest in that regard. And so my appearance today is to inform you of this, share it, my judgment that I try to exercise to the best of my ability, so that you can be privy to this, so that when your counsel is sought, that the counsel can be as erudite and as knowledgeable as is possible. I think that the goodwill is there. I think that you've accomplished an impossible feat. You've brought about harmony at the statewide level when that harmony appeared impossible. And for that, I personally, as a citizen and as a senator, am most grateful to the leadership role that's been exercised by members of this body. So I have nothing more to add and would be very happy to respond to questions that you may choose to ask on this subject. Or on any other subject. This morning I met with some of you with respect to the Susitna problem. I'll be testifying this evening with Mr. Kelso and others with respect to the ACSOC legislation. But I felt that these new developments warranted your attention, and again I thank you for giving me the time of sharing these views with you. Thank you very much. Please.
Senator, maybe I missed this point, but I made it earlier. On this bill that you're going to introduce on the Antiquities Act, is it retroactive to December 1978? I think you made a reference to it, but I didn't get a concrete answer.
Yeah, no, it would be retroactive to October of 1978, October 14th, the day that the Congress adjourned, which means that all of the actions by the President would be moved in that regard. And so there would be no monuments. And if that were the case, then we could, hunting and trapping would go forward this summer if we were successful prior to the summer.
Senator Dankworth?
I had not focused on it. That was an element that was in the compromise de facto bill last October, and I was not aware of that, as I was not aware of many items in the legislation at that time. Right now, it's a matter of unusual controversy throughout the state, and I believe you have legislation before you that deals with that matter. I was given two pieces of legislation by Representative Miles, and we'll focus on it, and told him that I would get back to the committee, and those other members, Representative Barnes contacted me on it also, and so I will be getting back my views once we've had a chance to go into specifics on it.
Senator
Representative Osterbach, did you want
to... Yeah, thank you, Mr. President. And I was going to talk on the same thing, Senator, on the... We got one bill that's to divide the state into seven regions. I think that's the Speaker's bill. And the other one is the Governor's bill into five regions. And according to the news we're getting back from Washington, D.C., if we don't take some action on it, that the feds will do it and put in federal regulations on our fish and game on federal land, and the state would control the regulations on state land. And I just want to know what your feeling was on that, Senator.
Obviously, I can't speak to the specific legislation since I have not read the two pieces, but I can say that my philosophical predisposition would be for state law to try and co-opt the field on it. So I would really encourage you to move in this regard, and I can assure you that as soon as I get back, we'll address ourselves to your legislation and just give you our counsel on it. The decision is truly yours, but there's certainly experience has indicated that if the state is prepared to move aggressively into areas, particularly where we have unusual precedent, that may co-opt the need for closer federal attention on some matters.
Yes. Slide.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
I thank you very much for your attention. Thank you.
Senator Coletta?
Mr. President, I move that you ask
that the joint session is adjourned.
Will the House please stand at ease? Will the House please come to order? We have a couple of items of business to take care of while we're here. If there's no objection, we'll revert to committee reports. Clerk, please read any standing committee reports.
The Committee on Resources has had House Joint Resolution 24 relating to studies of hydroelectric potential in rural Alaska under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, co-chairman, concurred in by Miles, Osterbach, co-chairman, Halford, Chatterton, Eliason, Carney, Cotton, Fuller, and Jaroff. House Joint Resolution number 24 has no further referral. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs is at House Bill 184, Delegation of Planning and Zoning Authority by Boroughs under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Branson, Carney, Parr, Jaroff, O'Connell, and Metcalf. House Bill 184 has a further referral to Judiciary. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
If there's no objection, will it revert to unfinished business. Under unfinished business, with the concurrence of the State Affairs Chairman, the referral to State Affairs of House Bill 330 will be waived and still has a referral to the Finance Committee. Also, with the concurrence of the Labor and Management Chairman, House Bill 377, which was introduced this morning, which is a supplemental and with his concurrence, that will be waived. That also has a Finance Committee referral. If there's no other items of unfinished business, brings us to adjournment.
Mr. Speaker, if there's no further business, I move and ask unanimous consent the House stand adjournment till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
There's no objection. The House adjourned till 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.